This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Melbourne Queer Film Festival, for all film lovers. This MQFF podcast is proudly supported by Joy 94.9.
I'm here chatting to Scott Graychef, who's the director of the documentary film The Rugby Player, which is screening at the up-and-coming Melbourne Queer Film Festival between March 3rd and March 24. Hi, Scott.
Hey, how are you, Lisa?
I'm good, good. Thanks for taking the call and chatting to us from the other side of the world.
My pleasure, yeah.
So tell me a little bit about your feature documentary for those who will be listening to this before they get to see it.
Well, The Rugby Player is about Mark Bingham. Mark Bingham was one of the passengers on Flight 93 on 9/11. He was one of the four passengers in first class credited with leading the revolt against the terrorists that brought that plane down in a field in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. The film tells his story much through his own video footage, because Mark was an amateur filmmaker and documented his whole life on videotape from age 16 to a month before 9/11. And it tells his story, as well as the story of his mother, Alice Hoagland, a former United flight attendant, and her journey since 9/11.
And how did you actually come to make the film?
Well, one of the people featured in our film is a fellow by the name of Todd Sarner. Todd Sarner was one of Mark's good childhood friends. And I just met Todd at a mutual friend's dinner party in 2002 in San Francisco. At the time, I was working for PBS making documentaries, and me and him just started chatting. And he started telling me about his friend Mark. Kind of in a sense of giving me a bit of a pitch for a documentary. And the more he talked about Mark, the more I just became intrigued with this guy and wanting to get to know him. And even, not even so much from a historical standpoint, but just from he sounded like a great guy who I would have wanted to hang out with and have a cocktail with and just have a good old time. And then Todd revealed that, as I mentioned, that Mark pretty much documented his whole life on videotape. And then knowing we had that material to work with, we embarked an over 10-year journey to tell this story and complete this film.
Wow, that kind of takes care of my next question, which was how long has it been in the works? But that's what, about 12 years?
Yeah, I mean, we had our official premiere last year here in America in Miami, and it took a while to make. You know, there's a few reasons it took a while to make. Probably the main one is just logistically, we're a small independent grassroots nonprofit project without any corporate funding, so just logistically it took that long to complete the film. I think the benefit of that was it really allowed the story to mature. And it allowed the people most connected to Mark, his friends and family, I think, process his death and process their journey a little bit. So that helped, I think, in, you know, basically telling a story that was a little more, I think, layered and nuanced than if we had the means to complete it. Like, I feel like if we had, you know, been able to complete the film, you know, in 2005 or 2006 or something, I don't think it would have been that great of a film. I feel like it could have been a little overly political, maybe a little reactionary. But now that we've had the time, again, to kind of let the story mature, I think we have a film that's quite relevant and timely.
Yeah, so I think you're right.
I think it made sense.
Yeah. I think you're right. That sort of having that distance from the actual event of 9/11 does give the documentary much more of a personal mood about it, I guess. And I was going to ask you, for me, having seen the doco a few times, the star of the project for me sort of turns out to be Mark's mother, Alice Hoagland. Was that something you planned, do you think, or is that just something that transpired during the sort of project's incarnation?
It's funny you mentioned that. Yeah, I mean, we've had a few reviews written of our film, or just some stories written where they say the rugby player might as well be called the rugby player's mom, because, you know, it's about Alice and her journey, and we're happy about that. And yeah, to be honest, we didn't know she was going to be as crucial a character in the film when we started to make it. I think whenever you embark on a documentary, you know, you have to really start in exploratory mode. I'm not a fan of bringing a preconceived story that you want to tell and then using subjects to tell the filmmaker's vision. I really believe you want to really get in there and explore and figure out what the story really is. And, you know, we just started doing what you do. We interviewed some friends and family. We started going to events that were either, you know, anniversary events or, you know, Mark Bingham-related events. And, of course, Alice was always at the center of it. And I think we just realized it took about, I think, maybe 5 years into the project to really kind of understand that Alice was really key in telling the story, and that if we were going to really engage a wide audience with this, telling this powerful mother-son story was the most engaging way to do it. So we're just so thankful that, of course, she was so trusting and open with us, as everyone was. We owe a lot to the friends and family for the success of the film.
Yeah, she's incredibly charismatic, and I was lucky enough to be at the Frameline screening, which was that last year or the year before now? That was probably a while ago.
Yeah, we had a work in progress screening in 2011, actually. Yeah, wow. Frameline Film Festival in San Francisco, yeah.
And she was at that screening, and I remember, you know, having seen the film and being in the audience, you know, a huge Castro Theatre audience is always fantastic anyway. But when she got up on stage, it was like the Pope had just entered the room. It was extraordinary that just the she's incredibly charismatic, and I sort of wonder if you can tell us a little bit about how the film has affected what she does on a day-to-day basis in terms of, you know, is she traveling with the film and you know, what sort of input does she have now?
She's very connected to the project. You know, and I'm glad you brought up that screening in 2011. You know, even though we weren't done with the film at that point, we wanted there to be something we can show people, especially in Mark's hometown, around the 10th anniversary of 9/11. And that was an amazing screening. And I believe she got up and we timed it. She received a 7-minute standing ovation.
Yeah.
Which was kind of unheard of. People just really, really are inspired by her. Yeah, she's been to about, I think, 5 or 6 of our screenings now, and of course, her presence just changes it from what could be just a regular film festival screening to this really amazing human event and experience in which she can't get out of the theater. You know, she's just mobbed by people wanting hugs and tell her stories and take pictures with her. And so I think it's been great for her. You know, she's the first person that'll tell you that she's at her happiest if she can be somewhere talking about Mark. You know, I believe she wakes up every morning and is reminded by the fact that her son was murdered and is no longer with us. And she uses that and channels it into such positive energy. And she's, I mean, not just touring with the film, but she, you know, there's been many, there's a fellow in the film towards the end there that mentioned that he saw Alice on CNN one day talking about Mark, and he started investigating Mark's story and didn't even know that Mark was gay. And then when he started learning about Mark's story, he realized how similar it was to his story. And he was closeted at the time, and he contacted Alice, and Alice helped talk him through it. And he, at that point, was able to come out to his friends and family and live honestly. So she continues to just, you know, affect positively and inspire people wherever she goes.
Yeah, she's incredible. I remember being there for that 7-minute standing ovation, and just actually thinking about it sends chills down my spine, you know, 3 years later. So can you tell us what connection the film has to the Bingham Cup?
Sure. I mean, it's connected in the sense that, you know, obviously in the film we highlight the Bingham Cup, where we highlight the Bingham Cup 2006 in New York City. And, of course, the Bingham Cup has been extremely supportive of the film. I believe we're actually going to have a screening at Bingham Cup this year. So that'll be exciting.
That's fantastic.
And, you know, I'd love to actually be there with cameras if we can. I mean, because I think a lot has progressed with Bingham Cup since 2006, and it's just so encouraging to see so many more rugby teams involved and so many more rugby teams, you know, being able to, you know, fund it successfully and get themselves, you know, to the cup wherever it is in the world, you know, that year. And it's, you know, just being there in 2006 in New York City was amazing. And again, it was amazing to see Alice there, you know, with the players. I think, again, she feels, you know, she's close when she's, you know, surrounded by a bunch of big rugby guys on the field and on the pitch, and she's on the sidelines taking pictures and, you know, wincing when people are getting tackled and just is there to, you know, give people kisses on the forehead if they need it. You know, she really is, in that sense, at the Bingham Cup, she's like everyone's mom. It's pretty amazing to see.
Yeah. Do you know, has she ever been out to Australia for the Bingham Cup? Because I know that's in Sydney in May, coming up here in Australia. Does she ever come down here?
I can tell you she will be there. Yeah, Alice will be there this year. Fantastic. She's been at every Bingham Cup. So, and she'll, you know, it'll be tradition, and she'll, you know, present the cup to the winning team as she's done, you know, for a number of years now. So, yeah, that'll be great.
Well, that's worth the price of a flight for me up to Sydney from Melbourne, so I'll keep that in mind.
There you go.
Any plans for future projects that you can share with us?
Yeah, well, you know, we're kind of still on this project. We're, you know, keeping it moving down the train track, as it were. We have a number of screenings coming up internationally, and, you know, it takes a lot just to kind of, you know, keep that going. And, of course, we're still looking for distribution for the film, eventual distribution. You know, I'm working on a new documentary project now. I've been working on it for about 2 years and have about a year and a half left, because obviously I don't like working on projects that happen quickly. So working on that. It's about New York artist Joe Coleman, who paints very intense work. And so we've just kind of been delving into his world and, you know, trying to tell his story. Again, for me, it's about, and I think, you know, Mark's story certainly falls into this. I've always been most passionate about highlighting voices that are seldom heard in the mainstream media. And I think, you know, Mark Bingham's story is exactly that. It's an important voice that people need to hear. And I think only hearing the great diversity of voices can we really get kind of the truth about our history. And so that's why it's, you know, it's so great to kind of be, you know, showing the Rugby Player Melbourne Queer Film Festival, quite frankly, and other festivals, just to, you know, the more we can get Mark's story out there, you know, the more, well, just I think the better everyone will be for it, quite frankly.
Yep, I agree totally. Thanks, Scott. We've been chatting to Scott Greatcheff, who's the director of the film The Rugby Player, which is screening at the upcoming Melbourne Queer Film Festival, March 13 to March 24. Thanks very much, Scott.
Thank you so much, Lisa. I hope it's a great screening at the festival.
Me too. It's selling very well. It'll sell out for sure.
Melbourne Queer Film Festival, 13th to the 24th of March 2014. Visit mqff.com.au for more information. This MQFF podcast is proudly supported by Joy 94.9. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation. Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.